Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. You know where you're locked in. Taz and the Moose, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 3 to 6 Pacific, Monday through Friday, right here on CBS Sports Radio, Sirius and XM 206 app as well. Coming up later on this hour, about 20-plus minutes from now, we'll talk to former Steeler and Patriot punter Josh Miller. Good guy, friend of the show. We'll join Taz and myself. Top of the third hour, let's get to it, the three.
It is now time for the three. We get you caught up on the three biggest headlines of the day with Taz and the Moose. Number one.
Des Bryant agrees to deal with Saints.
Yeah, it makes sense. A lot of reasons, Taz, and you and I are in agreement on this one. Number one, probably humbled. Number two, they're in need of a receiver. Number three, there's really no risk. If it doesn't work, they can get rid of him and pick somebody else up.
Absolutely.
So if he doesn't buy in or can't learn the offense or his issues chemistry-wise with Breeze or it becomes a distraction, Taz, they can get rid of him. No harm, no foul. But I think Dez has realized that, you know, he's got to be A, on his best behavior, and B, perform. I think because he doesn't want his career to be coming to an end. He understands he's 30 years of age. He loves football, certainly. The amount of money that you can make as an NFL player. He talked about wanting to win. He's in a situation now where the team's won 7 in a row. And they're riding a winning streak. They're a championship caliber team. They just beat the Los Angeles Rams. For all the headaches Dez has caused in the past, hopefully he's humbled, buys in, productive. If he does that, then maybe he can continue his NFL career past the season.
Correct. He's very fortunate to be on a team like this, okay?
With a
quarterback like this. And that's what I was saying earlier. You and I got into a good conversation about it. So if anybody missed it, check out the podcast of the first hour, Taz and the Moose on the Apple Podcasts or radio.com. But you got a quarterback like Drew Brees, you know, throwing the rock to you and throwing dimes to you. You know, this guy can squeeze a ball into any kind of through any kind of defense for the most part. So if you're a guy like Dez Bryant, with how strong his hands are, how well his vertical leaping is and his athleticism, yeah, he's maybe not going to beat you off the line no more or juke you. And that was part of the issue in Dallas, as you talked about earlier. You know, but you know what? This is a lot different than Dak Prescott throwing you the ball in Dallas. You know, totally different animal, as we talked about earlier.
Yeah, totally different. Absolutely.
Yeah, so
there's no question about when you look at the two. Is Prescott's not that caliber of quarterback? And you go back to Dez, with Prescott at quarterback, 16-17, right? He had 50 catches, 796 yards in 13 games in 2016. 2017, he had 69 catches for 838 yards. Now, year before that, he only played 9 games. Now, you look at 12, 13, 14, right, with Romo. 92 for 13, 82, and 12. 2013, 93 for 12, 33, and 13 touchdowns. 2014, he had 88 catches, 1,300 yards, and 16 touchdowns. Now, I get 2014 was 4 years ago. I understand that.
Yeah.
But Taz, the point being, it hammers home the point that you just made, is that if you put Dez with a quality pocket passing quarterback that can put the ball where it needs to be, and Breeze is as precise as he is, he's going to be a productive player.
Absolutely, especially with a Michael Thomas as the other receiver.
Great point.
Who is going to draw the better D-backs, you know? And I was looking during the break at looking at Dak Prescott, like some of the stats. You know, I'm not a stat guy, but Drew Brees obviously playing in the game a lot longer than Dak Prescott, so it's unfair to kind of compare. But Drew Brees was above 250 games he's played in, where Prescott played in like 40 games. So take this next thing I'm about to tell you, the pass completions, with a grain of salt. But still, just check it out. It's pretty interesting. Dak Prescott has completed 747 passes. Drew Brees, over 6,400.
Yeah.
Now, again, he's playing longer, but still, that's crazy.
It's
dude.
Crazy.
So, so if you are Dez Bryant,
Drew Brees has been in the league 18 years. You believe that?
He seems like a young kid still, like the way he moves.
Years,
and I know.
Man. 18
that's
years
crazy.
He's been in the league.
18 years.
Yeah.
How long's Brady in the league? Less or more.
Brady's
a little
42.
Older, right? He's a little older.
I'd say Brady's been in the league 19 years.
Yeah, you're probably right. So it's a lot for both. Whatever.
Maybe, yeah, I'd say 19 years for Brady.
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
Is that right?
Drafted in 2000.
Yeah, there you go. 19. Yeah. We're on the cusp, Moose, of 2019.
Crazy. I mean, you think about it. Now he steps in a situation. He's got every opportunity in front of him. He's got other skill position players around him that are going to draw the attention. He's with an accurate quarterback, a winning team, good culture, good locker room. It's time. Hopefully, Dez Bryant buys in. We'll see if he does. It's a good risk from the morning crew here on Taz and the Moose. It's a good risk and an understandable risk that the Saints decided to take.
Number two.
Report Bryce Harper turned down 10-year, $300 million contract from the Nats.
Yes, 10 years, $300 million deal offered to him toward the tail end of last year. Taz, great. I mean, if you're Bryce Harper and you're Scott Boras, you're looking to get paid more. I wonder if they offered him 10 for 350 or 10 for 375. Do you think he would have turned it down?
You're turning down $300 mil. And now, if someone offers you $350, how do you turn that down? I don't think he would turn down $350. I don't. But I don't know. We were talking earlier. The conversation led to maybe him getting $400 million, which would be mind blowing.
But I guess my point being, Taz, is there anything that the Nats could have offered at that stage which would have prevented him from going to free agency?
Dude, at that point, how much more are you gonna? I mean,
well, I agree with you. Well, he turned down 10 for 300.
You're emptying the tank.
Okay, 10 for 350? You think he would turn that down? I think he probably would have.
Dude, I don't think you should turn down 10 for 200.
I'm not saying
you know what I'm saying? I
know
get
what
you're
you
asking.
Mean.
Yeah.
I know what you mean, but I think they would probably to prevent him from going to free agency, I think they probably would have had to give him $400 million.
Yeah, definitely to be north of 350 to get him to stay, I would assume.
I'd say 10 for 375, 10 for 400, then Bryce Harper and his representative, because Boras believes he's going to get close to between 350 and 400 million.
Well, what's Machado going to get?
I think Machado destroyed himself with the way that he behaved.
Well, the lack of hustle Jones and all that stuff.
Admitting it.
Right. That's
stuff
with
Aguilar. Yeah, I know we disagree at first base, but yeah. I think he affected his value. The Yankees, look at them as a perfect case in point, Taz. Now, believe what you will coming out of the Yankee brain trust, but the Yankees, who I think really wanted Machado going into the offseason, reportedly they were bothered by the fact of the way that he behaved. When you admit to The Athletic in an interview that hustling is not your cup of tea and you're looking to get over $300 million in free agency, Taz,
yeah.
I mean, you've got to be a moron.
Yeah, no,
you really do. I mean, honestly.
And he's an awesome player, man, but it's just that's a character flaw. You know, when you have that kind of a deal and you say that and you're public to your point about it.
Oh, my God.
It's a very...
I don't like to hustle. What?
No, that's a character flaw.
I mean,
you know, yeah, it's crazy. You can't teach hustle. You know the cliches. You can't teach heart. These are all accurate cliches. You can't teach these things. And you would think that to any major leaguer, any pro athlete, male or female... work ethic, hustle, desire to win, play every play like it's last. All these lines, all these words, all these sayings. You would think that these athletes have that. But I guess some don't. And Manny Machado, to admit that he... And I'm a fan of this guy. But to admit that, he's not going to hustle. It's like, you're definitely going to hurt yourself in free agency.
Right.
I was wondering what you thought he would get, though.
Yeah, I'd say Machado, I think he gets $275.
He gets that much. 10-year?
Yeah.
He's the same age as Harper. They're both 26.
Yeah, 10-year.
Wow. He might be right.
250, 275.
Yankees?
He'll get less. I don't know. I think the Yankees
Mets?
Will kick the tires. No. I think the Yankees will kick the tires on Machado. I think they will.
No Mets?
Say never.
Still Mets.
Here's the one thing that I do think. Okay, say you look at the Mets for a perfect case in point. For them, put the money aside, I have a hard time thinking that they're willing to commit that kind of money to a guy that admitted that he doesn't want to play hard.
Any team's going to your point. And it moves.
But I think there's other teams that can afford. They're coming off a disastrous year. They got an agent with Van Wagenen stepping in to be their GM.
Yeah.
The first move they make, Taz, is bringing in a guy that says hustling's not my cup of tea. I don't know. We both love Machado as a player, Taz. I don't think I remember a guy destroying his own free agency more than Manny Machado did. Because if he didn't do what he did toward the tail end, we'd be talking about Machado going neck and neck with Bryce Harper around the same value of a deal. Now I think Bryce Harper's probably going to get anywhere from $75 to $90 million more than him.
And Machado, I think you're right, $250. Manny Machado,
$250.
There you go. There it is.
We'll see what Harper does get, but fascinating. GM meetings out there in California. Some good storylines coming out of that. And we'll see where two huge free agents do end up as the baseball offseason rolls along.
Number three.
Floyd Mayweather says he never agreed to fight with kickboxer.
Oh, yeah, come on. What are we doing here? Listen, he was supposed to fight a Japanese kickboxer. We talked about On New Year's Eve. We didn't know, no one knew what the rules were going to be and all this. Well, basically, if they were going to just box or if they were going to kickbox, I feel it's a money grab. You ripped it also.
Oh, it's terrible.
It's horrible. And now Mayweather's like, look, I never agreed to any of this stuff. We never agreed on nothing.
But correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't Mayweather post a picture of him in some locker room wearing those, fighting gloves?
I didn't see that. Did he?
Yeah, he was sitting on a bench.
Like the
looking down.
Kickboxing boxing gloves.
Yeah, like the kickboxing gloves. I don't know what they're
called. There's less padding to them than it's like an MMA glove.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah, it's because it's a little lighter weight.
Right. I thought he meant, now I could be wrong, but I did think when that story did come out, I thought Mayweather did post that picture. I mean, it's just nonsense. Yeah. I mean, what it comes down to now, Taz, is it's just complete. You want to talk about a guy that's made a lot of money and probably wasted a lot of money than we'll ever see in our lifetime? I mean, the fact he is thinking about now, after the shenanigans and charade that he pulled with Conor McGregor, which was a fraud, bogus fight to begin with, that people bought into because of McGregor and Mayweather's personality, because it played on both ends. There were Mayweather and McGregor fans, and there were people that were dying for McGregor to get his rear end whooped, and there were people that were dying to see Floyd Mayweather get his rear end whooped. So that's why that made it an absolute financial bonanza. Now he's digging deep here.
Yeah.
A Japanese kickboxer on New Year's Eve, and you're trying to draw up interest because you're trying to get some more money? Squeeze the American public dry. There's no more.
No, you lose a lot. You lose a ton of credibility as a combat athlete, an MMA guy or a pro boxer, or a pro wrestler if you want to throw that in the mix as combat sports. Yeah, you really affect your credibility no matter how much success Mayweather's had as a boxer, and he's had a ton over the years and made a ton of money, and he's not shy to tell you. But this kind of stuff that's been going on, a lot of different, dog and pony shows, a circus and all that stuff, but he did put something on social media. I'm trying to find it. You got something?
No, he deleted it. It got deleted. So whatever it was, it got deleted. Because I did see it. I remember because when the story initially came out, but now it's gone. So whoever scrubbed it from his social media. Taz, it's a joke. I mean, any way you cut it, I wouldn't buy it. Hopefully Mayweather fans wouldn't have bought it. It's an absolute money grab, but now he did not reportedly agree to it. So where does that put us now, Taz?
It puts us that why are we still talking about him?
No, I get it.
No, I know. I'm joking.
No, I mean, but, they did. I mean, let's be honest here. They did release. They had a press release.
Well, they did. They did. They had a press release. He put something on social media on Wednesday, and then Mayweather backtracked. Even though in the press conference, in the news conference, I should say, he was talking about the opponent, answering questions. So it felt like it was really, and his decision to come out of retirement for the fight. So it felt like, it was going to happen. Basically, he said this is what Mayweather wrote. Ultimately, I was asked to participate in a 9-minute exposition. excuse me, of a three-round three. There's that nut again. A three-round with an opponent selected by Ryzen Fighting Federation. Mayweather wrote,
"Right, Asukawa."
Right, right. What I was originally informed of by Brent Johnson of One Entertainment was that this was supposed to be a small group of wealthy spectators and a large fee. So he's supposed to. So what he's saying, he was supposed to fight in like a. He thought it wasn't supposed to be like a big spectacle, like a in front of a bunch of wealthy people, like a members only type thing. Are you kidding me?
So basically, in a like a back room.
Yeah,
he's supposed to fight Nasukawa for money,
like an underground wealthy room. Backroom wealthy.
Wait, guy that basically
a wealthy South
wants to grab attention as he's getting his gas pumped. Now all of a sudden he wants to fight a rising kickboxing star where nobody can see it. Yeah. That's what I'm supposed to believe, just for the super rich in Japan on New Year's Eve.
When I said it's Rising Fighting Federation, RFF was the federation. Not, I didn't mean like a rising. He's a young kid, 20-year-old, I think.
Fighter. He's 21 years old.
But R-I-Z-E-N is one of the federations.
Right. R-I-Z-I-N. Rising Fighting Federation. R-I-Z-E-N. Right. And, Nasukawa is considered to be the best kickboxing prospect that Japan's ever produced. I mean, listen. Here's
good luck
the one
with
thing.
Those kickboxes, by the way.
Here's the one thing, right?
Nasty.
Mayweather. What did he expect? Like, he said, I never agreed to this fight. Well, what do you expect? The guy Nasukawa to all of a sudden step in the ring and just box? He'd be like, no, what do you mean?
No.
I'm going to kickbox. And Mayweather's like, whoa, you're not McGregor. McGregor tried to fight.
Yeah, well, because McGregor would throw hands
McGregor,
a little bit.
Because but, McGregor, yeah. You want to talk about a guy starving for money. Another McGregor guy. Will do anything for money. He'll fight Pasaglia for money.
Oh, I would love to see that.
Pasaglia, you would have no chance.
That would go well.
Mike, even though you wear the tight T-shirts but at work, I don't know.
Mike, would you take a fractured jaw for $200,000?
No.
$200,000?
No, not happening.
$500,000.
I've seen a guy get his jaw broken.
So $500,000.
No, there's no amount of money.
$1 million.
No, there's no amount of
money. $10 million.
Can I start thinking about it?
Yeah, well, you just said there's no amount of money.
I've never
went to $10 million. So McGregor punches you and fractures your jaw.
A few bucks. He's
no. Not for stop test. Fractures your jaw in like five places for $10 million, you do it. Your jaw's wired shut. You have to drink fluids for the next year.
You're eating
now,
a filet.
You know, after hearing that, no, not $10 million. There's no amount of money I would do it for.
$10
million? You said $10
million. I wouldn't do it for I changed my mind.
For $10
after
million?
That,
dollars?
With a straw and just
well,
drinking
you have to
milk
eat, like,
and
well, just imagine using
oatmeal.
A straw to eat au gratin potatoes.
No. I like steak and lobster.
Disgusting.
It's not happening. I mean, from Bilotti, I would take the $10 million.
Would you let Bilotti headbutt you for $30? Headbutt you in the chest?
Yeah.
For $30?
Oh, yeah.
How about
full headbutt? Would you let me headbutt you in the chest?
I would not.
Stop.
Why stop?
Because he would
I'll
never $100.
He signs a release. I'll headbutt him in the chest.
No. Well, Bilotti's not a former wrestler. I mean, it's a little bit different. Would you allow Bilotti to kick you in the groin for $500?
Oh, no. No.
$1,000.
What if you let me wear a cup?
$5,000.
$5,000 with the cup.
With a cup? I got news for you. I trapped you. When you wear a cup and you get hit in the yam bag, it actually hurts more.
I'm sure it does.
Maybe I like the pain.
So $10,000. $10,000. $10,000. No cup.
$10,000, no cup, Bilotti to me.
So you like the pain? Mm. So even a kick.
Which foot, left or right foot?
Full wind up.
Left or right foot?
He's ambidextrous.
Oh. Yeah, I do it.
Right foot in the yam bag, no cup
or
cup.
Everyone's got a price.
That's what Ted DiBiase said.
Yes.
Right in the yam bag, Mike.
Yeah, he can get the bag.
Everyone's got a price. 855-212-4 CBS.
Mikey B.
So Nakamura. Yes, I know. I love
Nakamura.
Ted DiBiase.
What about Nakamura?
No fight with Mayweather.
Nakamura. His name's not Nakamura. You'd be Nakamura from WWE.
Oh, no. I mean, Nasukawa. Sorry. Nakamura. I was thinking about wrestling. Nasukawa.
Like,
sorry
Shinsuke.
About that. Nasukawa.
You
I guess
name.
That fight with Mayweather that. Is...
it's not even happening.
Right. We can do something else on New Year's Eve. And you should have been doing something else.
Maybe
anyway.
On New Year's Eve we get Pete the Body kicking Mike. We could put it on Instagram.
In the yam bag.
Mike said he likes the pain. Cup, no cup. He's
You'll
good.
Put up the $10,000. He's good.
No, we get Boomer to put the $10,000 up. I'm not putting
$10,000. No, you do $10,000 to watch you.
Know what I told? Know what I told Gio today? I said I spent $10,000 in 2 months on cigars and cognac. Go away, young man. You and your beard, Gio, if that is your real name.
Giannotti. It's a nickname.
I hate nicknames, Moose.
Yes, Taz.
Let's go! I'm ready, baby! I want to see Pete the Body swat him in the yam bag!
No, I mean, a man who's $100. Goes by Taz hates nicknames.
I want to put up $100. I want to see this happen.
CBS Sports Radio.
All right, maybe not.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, let's welcome aboard right now Josh Miller, friend of the show, has joined us before, former Steelers, Patriots, punter. Hey, Josh, Taz and the Moose with you, brother. How you doing,
What's
man?
What's up, Josh?
Morning, gentlemen. How's everyone doing?
All good, man. All good, buddy. You know, Josh, what do you think the reaction is going to be with Le'Veon Bell coming back to this team next week?
It depends. Right? In the locker room or in the stands?
No, in the locker room.
They're going to tell him, initially, it's going to be one of those things, the O-line, the best O-line in all of NFL. They're not going to touch anybody for the first three plays and let him get blown up. And then they're going to be upset with management because they think, you know, why the hell did you allow this to happen? And then maybe they'll play football again. I think it's one of those cold shoulders, but then you're going to be reminded that quickly that, you know what, he's here to play, he's here to win, let's make the best of it. He got our message. But I know if they had votes, if there was a you know, kind of a suggestion box, they wouldn't want him back in that locker room.
Mm. Makes sense, Josh. Hey, let me ask you, man, speaking of that O-line, do you think they get enough credit, man, in the Steel City for the job they're doing?
I'll tell you what, they do in the Steel City.
Okay.
Because it's not another fan base, which is so ridiculous, where this is actually part of their curriculum to know the O-line. I don't know the O-line, but my kids do. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Really? Wow, that's heavy.
School.
Yeah.
I mean, they're good. I mean, they're really, really good.
Yeah.
They don't get enough credit. I would say on a national level, but who the hell does on the O-line? They're good. I mean,
yeah.
If you're a football guy, you know that they're good. They have to be good in order for James Conner. It's so funny. James Conner, you know on paper, it just doesn't make sense that he's better than Bell. But yet he's making the team better because they're learning how to function without Bell. James Conner has done such a good job, and that's why they started the season so ugly. You know, tying to Cleveland, then they lost to KC because Ben – didn't have to really be Ben anymore. They relied so much on Bell. But now that they learned how to win, and James Conner's been absolutely, you know, not brought up his game, but you don't have to game plan against James Conner. You do it against AB. So it opened up the tight end. And because of the old line that they have, James Conner is looking like a very good running back. I don't think that he's as good as Bell, but he's helping this team in ways that Bell never did.
He runs hard. He does run hard, though.
He does.
Oh, yeah. No doubt
Real
about
hard,
that.
Yeah,
he
yeah.
runs hard. His heart's enormous. He reminds me of, like, someone asked about this the other day, and I'm like, he's kind of like what Teddy Bruschi was to New England. You know, you can't put your finger on it. You'll never pick him up first round in the combine, but you can't measure heart. You can't measure any of that stuff. There's just that thing that they're football players. James Conner is a survivor. Obviously, you know that story. But now people are starting to forget about that and look at him as a football player. And it's like, this team doesn't want to block for anybody else but him.
Well, Josh, let me ask you, because you hinted upon it in terms of the team would rather not have it. Do you think the Steelers are markedly improved with Bell returning to the team?
I don't think so. I mean, I think he's...
Because I agree with you. I mean, Josh, I actually think they don't want to deal with the distraction. They'd be better off with him away.
It took him 4 weeks last year when he pulled this crap to get back to where he was. They don't have time for that anymore. I think they'll be so out of rhythm, and then he's going to want those 35 touches a game, whether it's running or receiving, and it takes away from Juju, it takes away from AB, and it takes away from the tight ends. I don't think the game plan has passed him by. I really don't think he would help this team or didn't have enough time to help this team.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you, and it's unfortunate because you look at it. It seems like the group has come together without him, and I think it's fascinating when you look at it for him. You know, all he's thinking about and you know sending tweets upside down words and doing all this other nonsense on social media. You know, the Taz and I discussed it earlier, Josh. The amount of money that he basically let slip through his fingers.
It's insanity.
People can do whatever they want to do. It's insane. And to think that he's going to make it up in free agency where his behavior this year doesn't have ramifications for other teams and the way that they look at him, I mean, that's complete utter nonsense. Of course it will.
I totally agree with that. I mean, you know, and that's if he wants to come back and play good this year. There's no way you can flip a switch up like that. Once you start posting stuff upside down,
ugh,
that's scary. That's like meeting a girl in the bar. And then she gives you your number, and you're like, oh, I'll give you a call. And then she's like, what? I don't know, tomorrow. And then she says, I love you. It's just scary stuff. Where,
just
you know,
run at that point.
Right then and there, you're just like, I can't have this.
Just
that's
run.
Scary stuff. So, yeah. I mean, to me, writing
gotta hit the four-month mark before you say I love
yeah,
you.
Yeah, 5 months.
When she starts throwing out upside-down tweets, that brings a whole new world of, you know, if I'm a GM, I'm like, well, that just spooks me a little bit.
Yeah, I think I hear what you're saying. I think he just wants attention. But speaking of Lev Bell, right, let me ask you, Josh. Do you think this whole mess, this that we feel like we've been talking about forever, do you think it actually helped galvanize and bring that locker room together? Because, you know, it almost is like he's an outsider now, and it helped bring the insiders in tighter.
Yeah, I truly think it actually helped Ben stay another year. I really thought he was on his way out. I thought he was so frustrated with how everything was going, all the stuff, the turmoil, all the questions, the distractions. It just wasn't fun for him. And now I feel like he's absolutely having a blast. I think Randy Fichtner has done a marvelous job, which I thought he was just going to be a puppet. So I was dead wrong there. He's actually a very good offensive coordinator, and he's letting Ben have some freedoms. Ben's using his tight ends again. He's using everybody. I think Ben's having the most fun he's had in a long time. So I think with him out of the locker room and the way that the team bonded together offensively, I think he's kind of found himself again. So I think this move has helped everybody.
You know, Josh, one more on the Steelers before we transition away. You know, you and Taz were talking about the offensive line. The defense really kind of has turned a corner. Much maligned at the beginning, maligned last year with the playoff loss at home to Jacksonville. How about this defense turning a corner here the last month of the season?
Yeah, they've been really good. You know, they have 26 sacks, which means they're getting close a lot of the times. They're forcing those third and longs. And what they're doing is there's a lot of, you know, back-end warts. Joe Hayden has been fantastic coming over from Cleveland. He's done a marvelous job. But they're causing just enough trouble with, like, Stephon Tuitt and Haywood and those guys up front, Dupree, and obviously Watt, which started out great. I think he has 7 or 8 sacks. I mean, they've been forcing just enough pressure to get rid of the ball short so that the back end won't look as bad. And they're finally learning how to tackle. And believe it or not, they're not getting the penalties they started out in the first 4 weeks. They've been awful with the, you know, they got about 120 yards a game worth of penalties, 10 a game. It's just been terrible. They've cleaned that up. Keith Butler's done a good job getting more pressure on. So, you know, everyone wants to bash him out here, but you got to give him credit for exactly that. You know, if you have something that's bad, cover it up by putting more pressure on. Less time to get you know, rid of the ball. So they've done a great job. The guy up front, the front seven, and Joe Hayden specifically, because he can cover their best wide receiver.
Yeah, real good player there. So let me ask you, let's go up to New England, Josh, if you're cool with it, man. Just, it's unreal, right? We the Patriots, yeah. Belichick, Brady. I mean, well, exactly. Like, I don't know what to say to you. I mean, just talk about it. I mean, they're just, you know, they go and they play the Packers. They beat them 31-17. They're winning how many? Like 6 games in a row. They've won 7 games, whatever. I mean, talk about this, man. How is this Brady still doing this? The greatness of Belichick. Break it down.
I would love nothing more. I do know it's because of the hours in. You know, a great offensive coordinator in Josh McDaniels. And I know everyone's, oh, well, he can't do it on his own. Okay, fantastic. He doesn't have to. He's doing a great job there. Everything works. Everyone's like so, you know, they're ready to jump. Well, they can't do it on their own. They don't have to. When you have a car, tires can't go on its own. It needs the engine. It's all part of it, and that's what no one else gets. Belichick is the best. I mean, you go to any person who's not from there and say, name 7 guys on New England other than Gronkowski, other than Brady, and I'll even spot you. Maybe you'll know their first round in that Wayne kid or whatever the hell his name is. But my point being, you don't know anybody. You know, nobody knows anybody on the team because what Belichick does, he gets guys that can barely do their own job. I don't have to worry about them doing anyone else's job. I know they can't even do their own job if they're not focused. So everybody has a job that they do, and they actually do it. There's the playbook, and then there's, listen, if you have the edge, I want you to take 2 steps to your left and make sure no one goes around you. That's all I want you to do on every play. Everyone has specifics. So no one's cheating. No one's shooting gaps. Offensively, you know, he instilled this in me, which I think is the greatest quote, which I tell my kids all the time. And you can just see him doing it with his little smug smile. He's like, all right, let's just be good at the blank that's free. Okay. What's free? And he's like talking to kids.
Yeah.
Someone raised their hand. Knowing the playbook. All right. Good. That's free. What else is free? Being in shape. All right. That's good. So now what's free? Let's talk about this. So knowing the playbook. Okay. Being a gentleman, being polite. you know, not having your own flipping shows, not being on the radio, not doing all social media. That those are free. I'm not asking you to be 6'6" and 4'2". I'm asking you to just know your playbook. I mean, that literally, he goes down the list. He talks to them like that. You know, be good at the stuff that's free. That's all he has on that field. Guys that know exactly where they're supposed to be, and guys that are in shape enough to do what he wants them to do.
You know,
and then he sprinkles them with stars.
Yeah, and it's great, and I have an understanding, Josh. But he makes it, the way you describe it, it sounds so easy, but it's really difficult because there have been other guys that have tried to kind of follow that game plan, Josh, and yeah. Whether it be Mangini, Josh McDaniel, other yep. guys that have learned from Belichick, and they failed miserably.
Yeah, and that's when the Brady comes in. They can't take Brady with them, and I know it's just absolutely mind-boggling. You just know it works there. And everyone was like, oh, I could see Brady succeed, you know, behind, you know, the Steelers O-line 3 years ago when they were – or 4 years ago when they were garbage. You don't have to. That's such a ridiculous hypothetical that you can't prove or anything. Okay, great. So what? Yes, he doesn't run like a cheetah. He doesn't have to there. I mean, it's just – it doesn't matter. Everything is the perfect storm over there, and I'm just blown away whenever they show the, you know, the graphics of the ages. I look at Brady at 40s. It's just, why is he slowing down? There's no reason for him. He still loves doing it. I mean, he's having one of the better years, 17 touchdowns this year as I'm looking right now. He's just, listen, what you have there is something, if you're alive and old enough to appreciate it, you're going to look back and say that was the best window of football by any team. And then there'll be the idiots that's, oh, they cheated. Okay, fantastic. Run with that if you want. What they have is pretty special, and any team would sign up for that.
You know, Josh, what you know, you gave us a great story last time you were on. You know, but when you guys won a playoff game in Foxborough, and Belichick and everyone's celebrating, and Belichick walks in the room, and is like, ah, what are you guys? So we expected you to win a playoff game. What are you guys celebrating for? You know, when you went from the Steelers to New England, in 2004. What was the moment? Was there a moment early on in camp where it hit you that it's just different in Foxborough?
Yeah, I mean, it was probably just listening to the way he spoke to the guys. You know, that first meeting you have. It was actually before that. I apologize. It was once my locker was next to Brady. So, you know, you start hearing all the veterans in there, and you look around. I knew a couple of them. I was good friends with Teddy Bruschi, who went to U of A.
Yep.
Willie McGinnis
yep.
was there, and Junior Seau. So they command locker room. So when you look at Bell and you look at other teams, and they're coming in wearing like they bring a chef with them, or they bring somebody on the side just to kind of make them stand out. That stuff doesn't fly over there. I mean, literally, what Belichick does, he has unbelievable freedoms that he gives the veterans and the captains, but he really makes them police their own stuff. That's why, Belichick, he always talks about he's a little old school. He's so old school. He's like, this is your locker room, and you can have it any way you want. I'm leaving it up to you. So he gives them great freedoms. And when you're we brought in, I'm trying to think, there was a running back from Cincinnati.
Corey Dillon.
Corey Dillon, right? Mm. I mean, no one wanted this kid in there, but and no disrespect to Corey Dillon, because it turns out he was a nice guy, great team guy. But at the time, he was going through such troubles in Cincinnati. No surprise, where it's a circus, and everyone's like, well, he won't fit here. But because of that senior leadership they have in there, because of the captain, he fit right in. Because Belichick's marvelous also with this too. He gets guys that have to be good, and once they prove that they're good, he gets rid of them. You know, Randy Moss, hey, he was on his bad behavior, had to go there. Guess what? First couple of years, fantastic. Corey Dillon, troublemaker, one more time he's out, on his best behavior. He brings guys that either want to win a ring and pays them nothing, because and they're running towards the end of their career. So they're going to go there and they'll listen to anything he says. Or he gets the troublemakers that, failed 3 drug tests, that, been arrested 6 times. But guess what? Now they have to prove that they can play the game. So he'll take them that year. I mean, he just gets it. He knows how to do it, and he takes the guys that just flat out are in the position to where they're desperate, and he knows how to mold them. Or he takes that slow white guy from Nashiba and makes them into what they need to be, and he'll get about 14 of those like little soldiers. It's mind-boggling what he does and how he does it, but you know what? It's working. A guy will win you 3 games a year. I always say that. players win games. That's absolutely true. But Belichick, out of all the coaches I've ever had, he'll win you three games because you'll see some stuff that just makes, yeah, we should be doing this against that. He's absolutely brilliant.
Yep. Hey, Josh, it's always great talking a little football with you. We appreciate the time this morning. We really do. Enjoy your Thursday.
Thanks
right,
a lot, bud.
Thanks, guys. All the best to you. Appreciate it.
Take
you
care. Thanks, Josh.
Great stories.
He's great. He's great guy. He's very funny.
Very, very good guy.
Yes, he's
AB is in the house. Final time this morning. What's up, Andrew?
Guys, very quickly, the Denver Nuggets prepping for Mikey B's Nets with a loss last night in Memphis.
Murray to inbound for Denver. Grizzlies lead is two. Murray to Jokic. He'll turn. Fire a right wing three over Gasol. No good. Tapped up. No good. As the Grizzlies get the stop and get the win.
Eric Hasselton on Grizzlies Radio. The Nuggets' five-game winning streak snapped in Memphis 89-87. Off the floor, the NBA will televise the All-Star captains picking their teams for this season's game in Charlotte. LeBron and Steph Curry did so privately last season. It's the Steelers and Panthers on Thursday Night Football. Kickoff in Pittsburgh is shortly after 8 Eastern. The Jets announced yesterday a sprained foot for rookie QB Sam Darnold, so Josh McCown starts this weekend instead. A reported baseball trade last night, the Rays sending outfielder Malik Smith to Seattle for catcher Mike Zunino and outfielder Guillermo Heredia. And off the NHL scoreboard, Nashville 7-0 on the road, a 4-1 win in Colorado. Boys?
All right, thank you, Andrew. Appreciate it. 855-212-4227, always your number to call. The undercard is coming your way next. It's an action-packed Thursday morning. Taz Boost, CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio is on Sirius XM. Check us out on our new channel, Sirius XM 206. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio, toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Hey, everyone, here's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, too? Get it all right now at geico.com.
Well, I got good news for you, Moose. We got a social media update right now. All right, here we go. This is on Twitter, at Taz and the Moose. Okay, so here we go. Will Bryce Harper get a $400 million contract? Your options were yes and no. 72% of the people, Moose, say no, which leaves 28% at yes. Thank you all who voted.
72-28, no.
Yeah.
There we go. All right. I think I voted yes in that one, so I'm one of the 28%.
I voted no.
Okay, you're one of the 72.
I think it'll be at 389.
Nice. Memory lane.
Let's no, we don't do that. That's
undercard.
That's called closet. It's in the trash can.
Taz and the Moose present The Undercard. The stories from today's rundown that we haven't talked about on the show.
All right.
There you go, Mike. Come on, buddy.
The NBA All-Star Game draft will be televised this year. How excited are you guys to watch it?
No interest.
I know I actually am. I'm going to watch it. It's like it's 24 players, I think, get picked. We don't know who the captains are yet. I'm looking forward to this. What was that? Last year it was LeBron and la-la-la-la-la-la. Oh, it was from the Steph Curry, I think, right? And they did it on the phone. We didn't know, unbeknownst to us. I wonder who gets picked last. So if you're last,
yeah.
Well, does that mean you stink? No, because it's the 24. I heard LeBron talking about this. Top 24 players in the world. So you don't stink. You're just 24 stinky. No, you're not stinky. But no, I'm going to watch it. I'm dialed in. I'll watch it. I'll check it out. We don't know who the captains are yet, but it should be fun.
Yeah, I just don't care.
Oh. No, I respect that, Moose. Hey, two each is all. I'm not sitting. I'm sitting there with popcorn with Obey on it.
I hate All-Star games. I do. I'm not saying. Listen, you're not wrong.
I didn't say I'll watch the All-Star game. I never said that.
No, I'll watch the draft. No, I understand. Well, if you're going to watch the draft, then you're going to be invested somewhat to watch the All-Star game.
Not.
Then what's the point?
No. Because the draft is, I want to see who picks who, and then I don't give a rat's ass after that.
Well, why would we even watch that?
That's how I am, Moose. That's how I roll.
I would not watch the draft.
That's how I roll.
If you gave me $500,
I'm sure it's going to be a MAC conference football game.
I have no interest in watching the draft, nor interest in this is the All Star draft, nor any interest in watching the All Star game.
I don't care about the All Star game.
It's a terrible representation of the sport, and the draft is nonsense.
The draft is fun. Don't be like that.
No, it's nonsense.
It's not. nonsense. I'm going to watch
nonsense.
The Brits.
Don't tell me what I think and don't think. It's nonsense.
Don't say
it's
that.
It's bogus.
Don't get defensive. I'm having fun at your expense.
I'm not getting defensive. I said
the draft
I'm not interested.
Fun for me,
Taz,
Moose.
Pasegula can come over. You guys can have some popcorn and watch the draft.
Pound beers.
Yeah,
we'll pound
beers.
Yeah, you ever put
Old Bay? Smoke cigars.
Moose. You ever put Old Bay on popcorn?
No. That's gross.
Why you got to be like that?
I'd have butter.
I don't need Old Bay on
popcorn.
Butter's great, but if you want to watch your waistline, you put Old Bay on it while you're watching the draft. Old Bay, you know Old Bay seasoning. I know.
My man,
you put it on popcorn. It's good. Trust me.
I
bring it to the movies with me. I saw Hooper, right? 78. And I brought the Old Bay with me. Last movie I saw.
No.
Put Old Bay on the popcorn. No. Watch the draft. Watch LeBron. He'll be a captain. And some other captain.
No.
You're no fun.
No.
You really are. You got to loosen up your tie.
No.
All right.
No.
Next!
No.
Next!
Oh. No.
Next!
No. No.
Speaking of movies and popcorn,
no.
How about Breaking Bad, the hit TV show that was on AMC? Looks like there is a movie in the works. Be a sequel, basically, to the show.
Now, this is something I don't care about. My wife, huge fan of that show. I don't know, Moose, if you watch. I know it was very successful. I don't give
a great show.
I don't care about
Uber
these types
successful.
Of shows. I watch sports and wrestling.
Uber.
That's it. I watch judo.
Breaking Bad, so they're going to make a movie out of it. I think people will love it. How's Better Call Saul doing, Mike? Is it good?
I love it. I absolutely adore it.
It didn't get off to a great start. I haven't watched that.
It's a slow watch, and it builds up, but the characters are fantastic. I really enjoy it.
Breaking Bad was wildly popular. Yeah, so that is next level. I was just curious. That was a spinoff of Breaking Bad. I'm sure they're doing it to make money, so I'm sure it'll make money, and people will be locked in, sit there at the theater watching.
I don't even care about what they're going to do.
Nah, come on. That's the popular thing.
I am the minority. People love this show. I know that. It was ultra, ultra successful. My wife would always say, you got to watch it. Well, no, I don't. I said like you just said to me, don't tell me what to watch. I don't have to watch it.
I didn't say you have to watch it.
That's how I tell people. That's why I tell people. I don't watch that.
I'm not poo-pooing you as you poo-pooed me.
I didn't poo-poo you.
Yes, you did.
No,
you're
I
like,
didn't.
Don't say that.
No, it's not poo-poo.
Yeah,
that's not poo-poo.
Don't say that.
That's just saying, you know, it's a figure of speech when someone says, don't say that.
Then
you say to
not
me,
in talk
tell
radio.
Me what to say.
Not in talk radio, you don't say. No, don't
Why
say that.
Wait, I didn't get the talk radio rule book. Where is it? Where's the book?
Pete's locker.
Oh.
Pete will hand it off to you. It's time. It's time,
it's
Pete.
It's time. It's
you asked
time
me to when to give you time.
Hand the book to me. Where's the book?
It's Pete. It's time.
I didn't know.
It's time to give him the handle.
Where's the book?
Don't take it to the bathroom.
You don't do that in talk radio, sports radio. You don't say that.
It's time, Pete.
Stop.
Next.
We're changing the game here, Moose. Don't you understand?
It's time.
Come on.
Who needs a win more tonight, the Steelers or the Panthers?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Pittsburgh.
It's a good one. I'm thinking, what? Why is there laughter in them? Am I part of the joke or missing the joke?
No,
I just answered the question. That's
it was
all.
Just funny the way you're like, "Well, that's a good one," and was like, "Pittsburgh."
Oh,
well, that's timing is funny.
That's why we have amazing chemistry.
Yeah,
for no reasons right there. That's what we do with Pete, Mike, Dan.
Not everyone's laughing at your expense, Taz.
And you told me in the past when I think something's funny to turn the mic on, and I didn't laugh. So I might reconsider that.
No, you could do that. That's fine.
I'd say Pittsburgh.
I don't know. I'm thinking. Cam's
Taz,
play
just
great.
Pick a team.
I know. I think it's more
the national debt is not on it. Let's go.
Pittsburgh at home. Pittsburgh at home. You're right. That's more pressure. You're right. Pittsburgh home. I know. It took me a while. I'm very passionate. You know
I understand.
I wanted to make sure I had my.
It's big, A or B. Just
you're
pick
right,
one.
Right.
Let's
Pittsburgh,
go.
Pittsburgh.
Right.
I'm with you.
Jell or pudding? Pudding.
Pudding. Pudding kicked ass on a bowl.
Dan, great job on the board. Pete,
yes,
Mike,
Pete.
AB with the updates.
Pete, good job standing up.
Josh Miller for joining us earlier on the program. Taz, have a good Thursday, brother.
You too, Moose.
All right,
thank
peace.
You.
There's got to be a 10-second runoff here.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.